Good morning, this is Dr. Harding, and it's that time again. God bless you and thank all of you that's going to be tuning in this morning. And to my friends and to you that is a part of Moments of Inspiration, I just want to let you know that I thank God for you, glad for you to be with us on today. And I believe we're going to have a good time on today in the Lord. That's right, in the Lord, we're going to have a good time. And God is just going to bless us. I believe that we're going to be blessed today. I believe that we're going to be encouraged. I believe that we're going to be inspired. And this is the day that God has made, and I am rejoicing, and I am glad to be a part of it. That's right. I'm glad to be a part of it, Eric. And I thank God for all of you that's going to be tuning in on today. And it's just a joy, just a pleasure to be with you. Let me have a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you that this is a day that you've made, and I am rejoicing, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And I'm asking God that you will use me one more time for your glory, that these that tune in and those that hear it from a distance and those that hear it at different times, God will be blessed and inspired and enhanced and enlightened. I pray for the sick. I pray for those that are bereaving now, for loved ones that they've lost. And I pray, Father, that you would bless your people everywhere, those in hospitals all over the world, those that, God, have lost loved ones, the sadness of heart. Lift heavy burden, pull down stronghold, and break the power of the enemy, and let your word have a free course today. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. God bless you. Ernest Bailey, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and all of you that's going to join us. I thought the Lord put in my heart this morning, and I was getting ready to see what I was going to share with you today, and God said that I want you to share with them the same thing that you shared with your audience on Sunday. Remember, many of you are looking at your own broadcast and so forth, and you don't get a chance to catch us on Sundays and some of the message we do, Sister Miller. But I'm going to talk about, are you a witness for Christ? Are you a witness? This is a personal question that nobody can answer but you. You're the only one can answer this question. Are you a witness for Christ? Now, the scripture is Matthew 26, and I'm going to read verse 61. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 58. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. Now I want you to hold that in your mind about they sought false witnesses. They sought false witnesses. Now, if you want somebody to help you get out of something, you don't basically look for false witness if you didn't do it. If you didn't do it, Sister Lena Noel, I thank you all for being on, and Vanessa. You don't look for false witnesses. You look for witnesses that are truthful, that tell the truth about what it did. Make sure that they know that you didn't do it or you're innocent. But they look for false witnesses, but found none. That's what verse 60 said. Yea, though many false witnesses came, you had a lot of false witnesses that showed up against Jesus, yet found they none. At last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answer thou nothing. What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou shalt tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus held his peace, Aretha Moore. He held his peace. Now, we understand this, but the devil, the men lied on him. They said if he build his temple, build a whole temple, that he would tear it down and build it back up in 3 days. He was talking about his body. And so there's so many times that people misunderstand the Christianity knowledge of Christ, and they add their own human knowledge, and that's what betrays and causes so many people to go astray. But Sister Moore, I want to share again with you that may have heard some of this Sunday, but I want to share with you today that didn't hear and you that did. Now, all of these aspects involve Jesus when he went before Caiaphas. Now, we're living right now in the time right before Easter. We got another Sunday before Easter. And I mean, this is the last Sunday before Easter coming up. And I want to talk about it, get you to understand what happened. Now, they had paid Judah 30 pieces of silver to come and test to point out Jesus. Now, Jesus was not a person that stood out in the crowd. He was so common that nobody actually knew him. That means that he didn't have blonde hair, so they could say, oh, he's the blonde-headed man. That means that he didn't have kinky hair, so they could say, oh, he's the one that got the braids. He's kinky hair. And he's the dark one. He's the white one. He's this. He was so common that it took Judah to point him out to the people, even though he had been in the synagogues and all through the place witnessing to the people all the time. So they, for 30 pieces of silver, Judah had sold him out. So they brought him to Caiaphas' house, and Caiaphas now was looking for somebody to testify against him so that he could have him prosecuted. And now, so he looked for false witnesses. Isn't it strange that people always are looking for false witnesses? And when they're looking for false witnesses, it's not hard to find false witness, but it is difficult sometimes to find true witnesses. Now, so they were seeking out untruthful things about Jesus. Now, the same thing happened today. People make up things about Jesus. There are people who have read the Bible and are false witness. They will tell you their theory, their religious, and their interpretation of the Bible, which they never understood. They didn't study it in depth. They just studied it from a humanology knowledge, and that's what they got was human knowledge. Those are the people that said that they trust God, but they're rational in their thought. They may be well-educated, they may be intellectual, they may be astute, or they may be individual. But they'll say that if you are that educated and you're that smart, so you will not bow down to somebody called Jesus. There is no real Jesus. But when we understand this, what they did, what and how they were trying to destroy him and how they were trying to make fun of him, we will see what's going on. And I just want to know, are you a witness? Are you a witness? Now, don't be deceived by the lies and treacherousness of this world. Don't let this world deceive you about Jesus Christ, because they'll tell you that they are not, that there is no such thing as Christ. Even in 2021, they still, people don't believe that there is a Christ. Now, we don't want to know who, the people really don't want to know who Jesus is, because if they really wanted to know who he was, they would seek him. They would seek him. Now, a whole lot of people are saying a whole lot of things about Jesus that just isn't true. That's what you got to realize. They just, it's not the truth. And the Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the same thing is told about Jesus. Now, in Psalms 34 and 8, David would let us know that we need to know about Jesus. We need to know about Jesus, and we need to know about who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing and how Jesus is doing it and how Jesus is allowing us to do the things and allowing us to be who we say we should be. And when we do that, we will find out that there's a lot of things about Jesus that we really don't know. We may think we know them about him, but we really do not know who Jesus is. Now, here's the whole thing that I want to get to and let you know. This started in the early late 70s. They went around and they talked about that this new theology that Jesus was dead. and that we were serving a dead God, and that we should not be serving a dead God. And so there was some of this neo-theology that was going around trying to teach people, there's no need for you to continue talking about Jesus in your churches. And I'm going to, he had a seminar, he invited them from pastors there, and he fed them, and that morning he fed them breakfast, and then that afternoon he fed them with the lunch. And during the lunch hour, one of the old pastors was eating, and they were sitting up, and one of the old pastors was eating, and he said to him, he said, young man, can I get your attention here? He said, yeah. He said, I have a question. He said, what is the question? He said, well, you're telling us that there is not a Jesus, and there's not a God, and our God is dead. I just want to ask you one question. He held his apple up, and he bit off it, and he said to him, can you tell me whether this apple is sweet or bitter? And the guy said, that's crazy. How can I tell? I have to taste it and see is that sweet or bitter. He said, well, the Bible said in Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So you haven't tasted the Lord. You don't know whether who God is, and therefore you're going to tell us that there's no God, and you're going to tell us that Jesus don't exist, and you have never had an experience with God yourself. If you taste God, you'll know that God is good. God is good all the time, and all the time he is good. He's good all the time. So the high priest was upset about this. And now, however, what we want to understand, if you want to get witnesses, if you want to get witnesses, that's a touchy thing, very touchy thing. If you want to get witnesses, Sister Noel, Brother Noah, if you want witnesses, it's a touchy thing, because you don't get witnesses without going through something. Now, the prosecutor gonna really scrutinize whoever the defense brings. And then the defense have a right to scrutinize whoever is there for the DA. And so it's a process. So when there's a lot of political incorrectness there, and it's a lot of hearsay. And so they got to get out all the hearsay, get out all the speculation as to a witness. If you're going to be a witness for Christ, you cannot be a speculative witness. No, you got to be, there's a lynch mob mentality still in the world, still in the church. And that lynch mob mentality have permeated our society from generation to generation. Now, I watched a lot of reality stories on the court, on this television. I watched Judge Judy. I watched Judge Joe Brown. I watched Judge Mathis. And some of them, and sometimes when the defendants get a person to testify for them, now that person just don't come in and start testifying. No. They can't just come in and start to testify. Even, and that's what we got to understand. They don't just walk in and say, the judge say, okay, get on the stand, and I want you to testify. No. In this society, if you stand up for the accused, if you show some type of solidarity for the accused person, Sister Dale, then you're going to be guilty by association, and people will know that that is why Peter didn't show up. He didn't come. He was there, but he was afraid. He said, okay, if I get up here and tell them that I know Jesus, and when they said, they kept telling Peter, said, we know you was here. We know you were here. Peter finally got up and said, I don't know him. I don't know him. Now, why would Peter say that? If you have a negative thing in your life and you want to be a witness, any negative thing in your life, you will be attacked. And in some cases, the persecutor, even wrong things that somebody that you did, they will attack you on those wrong things. They will attack you because you want to be a witness. If you want to be a witness for Christ, somebody going to attack you. That's right. So don't be worried about that. Somebody's going to attack you. Somebody going to tell you that you did this. You are not what you're talking about. You saying this and da, 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 da. And a minute people will threaten you. That's why I'm saying, are you a witness? Are you a witness? Are you really a witness? Are you really ready to tell the thing for God? There will be some question, your sense of judgment, of fairness, and your compassion for the victim. If you are witnessing for the defense, there's some questions they're going to ask you, and there's some they're going to interrogate you, and they're going to try to tear down and assassinate your character. Try to stand up for Christ today and see what happened. Some will call you silly. Some will say you are superstitious. They will check out your past failure. Such remarks as you are about what you are talking about Jesus, but know how you used to be. They'll go back, I knew you before you were saved. I knew you when you were born. I knew you was you in those raggedy clothes. I knew this and I know that. They'll bring all those things up simply because you want to tell them about Jesus. You want to tell them about Jesus. And they'll bring all this up. Now, there are some reason people are used for standing up for Jesus, and no wonder some people are afraid to call or to mention his name. Now, if you tell them that you are standing up for Jesus, here's some of the things that you can get ready for. It's not easy to do. It takes Christ in us to be witnesses for him. Matthew said, blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall be all say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. And if the world hated me, Jesus said, don't worry about it. They're going to hate you too. And so when you, Sister Moore, get ready to talk about Jesus, there's always some haters. Somebody going to hate on you. Everybody not going to love you. But remember, Jesus loved us first. And you better listen to me. Jesus loved us first. Jesus loved us before, not because of what we did, but in spite of who we are, Jesus loved us. Now, a witness for the defense of Jesus has to be willing and available to testify. We have to make ourselves available to testify for Jesus. There's a lot of folks that I want to do it, but they don't make themselves available. They don't come to church. They don't come to the meeting. They don't go to seminars. They don't go to a conference where they do it, but they say they want to be available, but they don't want to do anything that have to put them a bend or get them out of their comfort zone to do for Jesus. So a witness have to be a willing. Number one, you got to be willing to do it. And number two, you must be available to do it. Now, in this crisis, we got to understand there's a lot of folks that are missing in action. They're missing in action. Even at their home, they're not watching. And even they're just missing in action. They just gotten comfortable not doing anything. But yet, if you ask them, are they a witness? They'll tell you, I'm a witness for Jesus. Now, they must be willing to endure the political and the social fallout that might ensue them if you want to witness for Christ. There's some things that's going to ensue you that's really going to hurt you. You cannot be a coward. You can't be a coward. You cannot be a coward. They must be courageous enough to come forward if you're going to be a witness. You can't be a wimp. You can't be a wimp and witness for Christ. Now, you can't freak out when the going get tough. There's going to be some tough going, but you just can't not wimp out. You got to stand up and say, I'm going to witness regardless to what it takes and who all don't like it, I'm going to tell it. Now, you have to make themselves, you have to make yourself be able to testify for Jesus. You got to make yourself be able to say, I'm going to stand on the street coming. You got to make yourself to say, I'm in a crowd, but I'm going to tell this man about Jesus. I'm going to ask this woman, do she know about Jesus? Brother William, that's what I'm going to do. Are you available to testify for Jesus? That's what you got to be, available. Time and desire. If you don't have the time and desire to do it, you can't do it. Now, are we willing to be shunned as he was? Are we willing to have our good spoken of as he was? That's what I'm trying to tell you, as he was. Now, do we have the courage to be available to witness for the defense? Do you want a witness for Jesus? Or are you just talking about you want to be a witness? But do you really have the courage to do it? Now, because here's the thing. They're gonna throw some stuff at you as being a witness. After a defense for the witness have to have some measure of credibility. That's right. You got to have some measure of credibility to be a witness for Christ. If you're a witness and you're a drug addict, they're gonna throw that up at you. They're gonna say this person nothing but a drug addict. He's a gangbanger. He's a felony. He's a racist. He's a thief. He's a liar. And these things would affect how people hear and the person that's testimony. So if you're gonna testify, you got to have a clean record, because they're gonna desecrate everything that they know on you. And even though you haven't did it, what they said, but they're going to bring it all up. Now, if you're going to testify, would anyone believe our testimony about Jesus based on who we are and what we have done? What we've done, what they've seen us do? Could we show them Jesus? If somebody said right now, can you tell me about Jesus? Can I see Jesus in your life? Can you tell me what Jesus has done for you? Can you tell me how Jesus has changed you? If you're going to be a witness, these are things that you're going to be confronted with. Now, have we been changed and redeemed? If we were tried to be for being a Christian, if they put you on trial today for being a Christian, Would they have enough evidence to convict you? Could they say, I heard him praying? Could they say, I saw him praising God? Could they say that I know God healed this person? Could they say that this person told me something and it came to pass? Do they have enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? That's all going to be assassinated of your character when you apply to witness for Christ. Now, a person of witness must have seen or experienced something. Now, if you haven't seen nothing, you haven't heard nothing, and you haven't said nothing, you don't have nothing. And nothing from nothing always equals nothing. So you got to have something, seen something, and been there in order to be an effective witness. Now, there are some testimonies that are inadmissible. That's right. When you testify for somebody, there are some testimonies that is inadmissible in the court of law. If you want to testify about something you heard someone else talking about, that is hearsay. When you hearsay is inadmissible. That's right. If you want to talk about what you believe have happened, even what is suspect, because it is conjured and speculated, and that too is inadmissible. You can't talk about what you heard somebody say. I heard somebody say that this and that about him. That ain't no good. That's inadmissible. In order to be an effective witness for the defense and stand up for the defendant, you have to have seen or experienced something for yourself. Not your brother, not your sister, not the pastor, not the elder, but you got to have experienced it for yourself. Are you a witness? Have you been born again? Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you sanctified? Are you glorified? Are you anointed to do what God said to do? Can you be a witness? Are you a witness for my Lord? Now, I got to close here this morning, but let me get this here. Here's the thing that got me, that I wondered. Here is Jesus on trial. They had to get false witnesses. Now, they got false witnesses, and this was the priest. This was tearing down their character, because the priest and the rabbis and all of these people were supposed to be looking for truth. You should know the truth, and the truth should make you free. But they were satisfied to get false witnesses, and they found two false witnesses and said that if you tear this temple down, I could build this temple up and tear it down in 3 days. They said that was blasphemer. Now God is looking for true witnesses. And so here's the thing that came in my mind when I was writing this message. It came in my mind, how can someone else experience this time, that experience this at this time, and do not know him for yourself? What do you think about Jesus? Now, I know what your mother and father and sisters or brothers have said about him, but what do we know about Jesus? What do we know? Do we know he's a healer? Do we know he's a caretaker? Do we know he loves us? Do we know he died for us? What do we know about Jesus? My God, they used to sing the song, "What Do You Know About Jesus?" And they said, "He's all right." That's right, he's all right. Now, it's enough that someone else have stood up for you. The question is, are you a witness for Christ? That's the question I'm asking. That's the question on the floor. Are you a witness for Christ? Do you know him? And the other question that I had to ask is this. If you know him, and there was a many people that knew Jesus. There was a many people that knew him. And my mind was pondering, and I'm wondering, where are the men that was born blind? Where was that man that was born blind? And what was the man that laid at the pool for 38 years, waiting for Jesus, or waiting for the water to be troubled? And when the water was troubled, he didn't have nobody to put him in the water. And Jesus said to him, "Will you be made whole?" And then he said, "I don't have nobody to put me in the water." Jesus said to him, didn't ask you about anybody putting me in your water. He said, "Take up your bed and walk." Now, what does that man look like to me? If he heard about what Jesus was at and what Jesus was going through, he would have came to Jesus' rescue and said, "I will witness for you. I'm going to witness for you, Jesus, because I was laid at the pool for all those 30 years." And then the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, said, "Jesus," he heard that Jesus was coming by, and he said, "Son of God, have mercy on me." He could have testified, "I was blind, but now I see." Where was that man? I'm wondering whether the woman with the issue of blood, a lot of us have a lot of issues, but she had an issue of blood for 12 long years. And she heard about Jesus, and she made her way weak through the crowd, pushing the crowd back, because when you lose blood, you're anemic and you don't have a lot of strength. But she pushed her way through the crowd, and she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And look like he could have said, Your Honor, I made my way through the crowd, and I had been weak for 12 years, and I made my way through the crowd, and I got to Jesus, and when I touched the hem of his garment, I was made whole. Where was that woman? Evidently, Peter said, I can't go there, I'm afraid. John was already there, but John didn't say anything, and John was the one that laid in his bosom. I'm wondering where the other 10 disciples were. I'm wondering where the leper was that came to Jesus and said, Jesus, and they hollered out at Jesus, and Jesus said to them, said, go show yourself to the priest, and he went on their way, going to show himself to the priest. They looked at the skin, and the skin was growing back on their hand, and they hollered out and said, Lord, thank you. And Jesus said, where are you? Just one of them. Where are the other 9? I'm wondering why they didn't come and testify for him. I'm wondering why that somebody that God have gotten off a drug, God has gotten off of alcohol, God has gotten off of homosexuality, got them off of whoremongering, got them off of backbiting, taking them away from everything that was disturbing them, gave them a free mind. Their mind was messed up. They was ready to go into any insane place. They were ready to commit suicide, but Jesus came along. Are you a witness for him today? Do you have the gall to testify for my Lord? Let me tell you something. Easter's coming up. It's not about clothes, it's not about a rabbit, it's not about candy, it's not about an egg, but it's about our risen Savior. And my God, do we have a witness? Are you a witness for him going to the cross in your stead? Now, my God, then the last person I want to bring up is Lazarus. Lazarus died. He was in the grave for three days in the casket, and he said to him, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus jumped out of the came out of there hopping, and then he said to him, loose him and let him go free. And I'm telling you that God have loosed many of us, and we set us free. Are you a witness? Will you tell somebody about my Jesus? Will you tell them that he's alive? Will you tell them that he's not dead? Will you tell them that he is a Savior? Will you tell him that he'll open doors for you? Will you tell somebody he'll make ways for you? Will you tell somebody he's a healer? Will you tell somebody that you did have the coronavirus, but he brought you through? Will you tell somebody that they wouldn't put you on the oxygen because they thought they was wasting it? There were some people that couldn't get on it because they told them it was wasted. We saved it for somebody that got more strength, but God brought you through. Are you a witness for God? Do you have the gall? Do you have the testimony? Do you have the nerve to tell people that I'm going to witness for Jesus regardless of what you say? He brought me too far. I've come too far from where I started from, and I stand up today and say, I am a witness. And in spite of the folks not witness for Jesus, he went ahead and got on the cross, and he went ahead and died for every one of us. He gave his life up for us. And I stop by to tell you today, I am a witness, Valerie. I'm a witness for my Lord. I'm going to witness for him until I die. And I pray today that whoever hear this, that you would help me post it, help me preach it, help me tell it around the world by posting it to some of your friends, loved one that you don't know. I don't know who all is on my thing. I don't know, but I'm going to tell it to everybody I can that I am a witness. I'm going to tell them that Jesus died and he rose again on the third day, and he came up for me. He came up for you. He came up for my sin. He came up for my joy. He came up that I may have everlasting life, and I am praising God for that. My God, we ought to give God some praise that we are witnesses for him. Mary would not have made a good witness. She was too close for comfort. She was his mother, but there were the people. There was the man on top of the house, the man that they couldn't get in the house. They went to the top of the house and let him down through the roof. He ought to have been there if he had heard about it. But I'm wondering, are you here today to witness for my Lord? God bless you and have a blessed day. I'm getting ready to close here. Have a blessed day. And make sure that you're a witness for God. Make sure that you don't take your fun and just go and buy all this Easter stuff that they got for Easter, candy, eggs, and I'm not going against all this stuff, eggs and clothes and everything, and then don't make sacrifice and don't give anything. Then this stimulant that you got, don't just let it stimulate you, but put some of that in to stimulate the ministry that is helping you, the ministry that God have blessed you and blessing you through. That's what you do. And I'm saying, understand to you that are watching me this morning, you have the opportunity to sow a seed into moments of inspiration. If this been some moments of inspiration, if I said something, my God, them said something that you did that would help you, we got Push Pay. It's on there, the Push Pay. We got Giveify. And you can just go to the app. If you don't have it, you can download it, and you can be a blessing to moments of inspiration. If it have given you some moments of inspiration, if anything that I've said have helped you and blessed you, then pour into this ministry. If you don't go to Giveify and don't go to Pushpay, then you can mail it to us at 135 West Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach, California. Again, 135 West Victoria Street here in the city of Long Beach, California. The zip code is 90805. Or if you live in the area and you want to bring it by, you can between the hours of 10 and 5 o'clock daily, Monday through Fridays, you can bring it by. If nobody's there, drop it in the mail slot. It'll be safe. I want to thank all of you that have joined me. Thank you that's going to post this. Thank you that understand man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And I just want to let you know, I'm getting ready to pray. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, my God, your Lord and your Savior, I'm saying to you, pray this prayer with me right now. Dear God, I thank you. And I know, God, that I am not saved. I know I'm a sinner, God. I am wretch undone. And I'm asking you, God, Jesus Christ, the one that died for my sin, the one that was buried and rose on the third day. I'm asking you to come into my heart and forgive me for all of my sins and save me from this untold generation. And God, with your help, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And God, I'm asking you also to lead me and guide me to a church, God, that would preach your word. And I thank you, God, for filling them with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, God, we pray. Thank God. Amen, Sister Philip. God bless all of you, and thank you so much. And I'm praying for those that are sick, God. I'm praying for those, God, that are struggling. I'm asking, God, that you make a way. You'll do it, God, because you have already made way. You're all knowing. You have all power, and you're everywhere, God. There's nowhere that anybody is that you're not already there. So I'm asking, God, that you heal, deliver, and set free. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen and amen. God bless you today, and God keep you. And if God said it, the Lord said the same and spare me, I will be back on next Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. with some more moments of inspiration. You can also check us out on Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. at our Bible study, and on Sunday morning, this Sunday morning, at 8 a.m. and at 11:30 a.m., I'm going to be sharing with you, my God, in those service, moments of inspiration, expiration, and not only inspiration, but I'm gonna share with you what God has put in my heart to share with you, and my God, God's going to bless us all. God bless you. Have a blessed day.